from the point of view of the species as a whole, not from the point of view of the dragon now landing in small pieces around the landscape. "Eat dragons," it proclaims, "and you'll have a case of indigestion to which the term blast radius will be appropriate." Vimes therefore pushed the door open carefully. The smell of dragons engulfed him. It was an unusual smell, even by Ankh-Morpork's standards. It put Vimes in mind of a pond that had been used to dump alchemical waste for several years and then drained. Small dragons whistled and yammered at him from pens on either side of the path. Several excited gusts of flame sizzled the hair on his bare shins. He found Sybil Ramkin with a couple of the miscellaneous young women in breeches who helped run the sanctuary. They were generally called Sarah or Emma, and all looked exactly the same to Vimes. They were struggling with what seemed to be an irate sack. She looked up as he approached.
"Ah, here's Sam," she said. "Hold this. There's a lamb."
The sack was thrust into his arms. At the same moment, a talon ripped out of the bottom of the sack and scraped down his breastplate in a spirited attempt to disembowel him. A spiky-eared head thrust its way out of the other end, two glowing red eyes focused on him briefly, a tooth-serrated mouth gaped open, and a gush of evil-smelling vapour washed over him. Lady Ramkin grabbed the lower jaw triumphantly and thrust the other arm up to the elbow down the little dragon's throat.
"Got you!"
She turned to Vimes, who was still rigid with shock.
"Little devil wouldn't take his limestone tablet. Swallow! Swallow! There. Who's a good boy, then? You can let him go now."
The sack slipped from Vimes' arms.
"Bad case of flameless gripe," said Lady Ramkin. "Hope we've got it in time."
The dragon ripped its way out of the sack and looked around for something to incinerate. Everyone tried to get out of the way. Then its eyes crossed and it hiccuped. The limestone tablet pinged off the opposite wall.
"Everybody down!"
They leapt for such cover as was provided by a water trough and a pile of clinkers. The dragon hiccuped again and looked puzzled. Then it exploded. They stuck their heads up when the smoke had cleared and looked down at the sad little crater. Lady Ramkin took a handkerchief out of a pocket of her leather overall and blew her nose.
"Silly little bugger," she said. "Oh, well, how are you, Sam? Did you get to see Havelock?"
Vimes nodded. Never in his life, he thought, would he get used to the idea of the Patrician of Ankh-Morpork having a first name, or that anyone could ever know him well enough to call him by it.
"I've been thinking about this dinner tomorrow night," he said desperately. "You know, I really don't think I can—"
"Don't be silly," said Lady Ramkin. "You'll enjoy it. It's time you met the right people. You know that."
He nodded mournfully.
"We shall expect you up at the house at 8 o'clock, then," she said. "And don't look like that. It'll help you tremendously. You're far too good a man to spend his nights traipsing around the dark, wet streets. It's time you got on in the world."
Vimes wanted to say that he liked traipsing around the dark, wet streets, but it would be no use. He didn't like it much. It was just what he'd always done. He thought about his badge in the same way as he thought about his nose. He didn't love it or hate it. It was just his badge.
"So you just run along. It'll be terrific fun. Have you got a handkerchief?"
Vimes panicked.
"What?" "Give it to me."
She held it close to his mouth.
"Spit,"
she commanded. She dabbed at a smudge on his cheek. One of the interchangeable Emmas gave a giggle that was just audible. Lady Ramkin ignored it.
"There," she said, "that's better. Now off you go, and keep the streets safe for all of us. And if you want to do something really useful, you could find Chubby."
Chubby?
"He got out of his pen last night.
A dragon?" Vimes groaned and pulled a cheap cigar out of his pocket. Swamp dragons were becoming a minor nuisance in the city. Lady Ramkin got very angry about it. People would buy them when they were 6 inches long and a cute way of lighting fires, and then when they were burning the furniture and leaving corrosive holes in the carpet, the floor and the cellar ceiling underneath it, they'd be shoved out to fend for themselves.
"We rescued him from a blacksmith in Easy Street," said Lady Ramkin. "I said, 'My good man, you can use a forge like everyone else, poor little thing.'"
"Chubby," said Vimes, "got a light?"
"He's got a blue collar," said Lady Ramkin.
"Right, yes."
"He'll follow you like a lamb if he thinks you've got a charcoal biscuit."
"Right." Vimes patted his pockets. "They're a little bit overexcited in this heat." Vimes reached down into a pen of hatchlings and picked up a small one, which flapped its stubby wings excitedly. It spurted a brief jet of blue flame. Vimes inhaled quickly.
"Sam, I really wish you wouldn't do that."
"Sorry."
"So if you could get young Carrot and that nice Corporal Nobbs to keep an eye out for me—"
"No problem."
For some reason, Lady Sybil, keen of